Identity theft shows no signs of slowing down. In fact, more than $29 billion were stolen last year alone. That's a criminal success story and a wake-up call for everyone. It can be dangerously easy to steal your identity. LifeLock makes it easy to help protect yourself. If you become a victim, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com/FoxPod. LifeLock, identity theft protection starts here.
Governor Sununu, welcome back.
Hey, Brian. How we doing, buddy?
Good. What do you think the Secretary of State's going to say to Benjamin Netanyahu? Why do you think he's rushing over to Israel?
Yeah, you know, I get the sense that it is to try to put the brakes on some of the aggression, so to say, but that's not going to happen. I'm not even saying it really should happen. I mean, Israel was absolutely attacked. This isn't a dispute over territory or anything like that. This is a group. These Hamas killers want to literally wipe out every Jew on the planet. I mean, that's their goal. They want the second Holocaust. So to go in and then tell just the leader of the Israeli state, back off a little bit, that's not going to go very well. And unfortunately, we haven't shown strength across the world in a systematic way. We don't always back up our friends with this Biden administration. So it comes from I think the argument would be coming from a place of weakness in itself. So I just don't think Netanyahu is going to pay attention to much that we have to say.
So are you surprised of Columbia University, Cornell? Well, we're seeing it at NYU. We're seeing it at all the schools out in the California state schools. This sympathy towards Hamas and the Palestinians and condemnation of Israelis. Has this surprised Governor Sununu?
It should surprise everybody, right? Because, again, this isn't some sort of territorial dispute, an even-keeled match here. These are killers that came in, and we saw the brutality that they were willing to inflict on October 7th. So I was asked to speak at Harvard about a week ago. I told them to go screw. I said, no, we're not doing this, because they're kind of capitulation to these student groups who are on the side of absolute murderous killers. And that's what it is. And now I'm a parent. I got a couple kids in that age and that kind of college age. I don't just put it on the students. We're the parents talking to their children that are part of these groups, that are part of these demonstrations. These young adults are so – it isn't Republican Democrat here, guys. It isn't progressive conservative. They are just so off base in terms of what they think they're protesting about. I don't even think they know and understand the issues at bear here. They're just kind of going with whatever the progressives tell them to do. They're going with that ultra-progressive wing, and it's dangerous. It isn't just we have a disagreement of philosophy here. This is dangerous thinking, where it is okay to now support a group of terrorists that are going to brutally murder, not just innocent civilians, but our allies, our compatriots, people that have fought for the freedom of their own homeland. And that's okay. Now, this is nothing that I think anybody saw coming. And it's not just Harvard. It's not just Yale. It's really all across. I mean, we see it a lot in the colleges, but it's everywhere.
By the way, we just have to tell you that the Rafah Gate is open for injured Palestinians and for foreigners to get out. So that's beginning to open up a little bit. They should pressure Egypt to open up the gate for civilians and get the kids out of there, because Hamas needs to be destroyed. But, Governor, normally I ask you about the Republican race, and I will. But first, Democrats. Dean Phillips is in, and he wants to be in the New Hampshire primary. Joe Biden doesn't. And because he wants to be there, he is causing all types of unrest on the left. What is the situation? Are you guys, for the Democrats, the first primary?
Oh, we're the first primary. There's no doubt about it. Joe Biden tried to move the primary out of New Hampshire to South Carolina. It didn't work. The Iowa Democrats thought about trying to take it and put a primary in Iowa. That didn't work. We're first. We're going first. That's all there is. Joe Biden won't be on the ballot. But here's a newsflash for Joe Biden. Nobody cares. Like, nobody really cares that Joe Biden is not on the ballot here. There's not some giant clamoring wing of the Democrat Party. I wish I could vote for Joe Biden in the New Hampshire primary. Well, they're moving on. They've given up on him. They're moving on. I think Dean Phillips has a huge opportunity here to just crack the Democrat Party wide open. Now, that's going to happen, whether it happens with Dean Phillips in New Hampshire, whether it happens at the convention or somewhere in between. I've always been a believer that Biden likely isn't on that ballot come November of 24. So one way or another, it's going to happen. But this is the first serious crack in the egg. Biden, whether he realizes, you know, what a gaffe he's made or not. I don't, I mean, there's a lot more important things he should be realizing, which he clearly doesn't. So I don't know how in tune he is to the situation, but there's a huge problem in the Democrat Party, and that fracturing is starting right here in New Hampshire. And to Dean Phillips' credit, he's gonna work it the right way. He's already got support from some of our legislators. He's got support from individuals who used to support Biden. He's going to go town to town and diner to diner. He's got about three months here to really make a name for himself, and that's more than enough time considering Biden isn't even on the ballot.
Well, now all of a sudden you guys are getting ripped because there's too many white people in your state, and that's not emblematic of the diverse Democratic Party. You have heard that, and now Phillips says that's the problem with the Democratic Party. They're too divisive. Just go win New Hampshire. And now Clyburn's coming back at him, and then he comes back and says he's disappointed in James Clyburn. He should know better. And now more people are coming back at Phillips. Unwind this for me.
Yeah, so look, the idea that they were going to move the Democrat First in the Nation primary to South Carolina because it had more a representation of people of color. But you forget one key point. They don't vote. And they basically have the party bosses tell everyone how to vote. They have one of the lowest voter turnouts in the entire country. What's the point of having great representation if you're not allowing them to vote? And there's still even a question, by the way, whether they hold the Democrat primary in South Carolina. They may just give it to Biden. They did that for Trump in 2020. They may not even hold a primary there. So they've really screwed this thing up. They've caused a big mess. New Hampshire, we haven't changed a thing. We're still going first. This is where the arguments are going to be laid down with the individuals and the citizens. And the media is here. The attention is here. And that's why Dean Phillips has a real shot and opportunity. You have these party bosses, these elitists like Clyburn, who just think that, well, if people that have my endorsement, you know, that's all that matters. No. It's the citizens that matter. It's the actual voters that matter, not these elitists in the Democrat Party. And this is just a huge opportunity for the Democrat Party to kind of get back to basics, do it the right way. And God bless Dean Phillips. He's leading the charge.
Identity theft shows no signs of slowing down. In fact, more than $29 billion were stolen last year alone. That's a criminal success story and a wake-up call for everyone. It can be dangerously easy to steal your identity. LifeLock makes it easy to help protect yourself. If you become a victim, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com/FoxPod. LifeLock, identity theft protection starts here.
Yeah, it turns out that Representative Benny Thompson, he of January 6th fame, says that Phillips' decision to go to New Hampshire is disrespectful to voters of color. What?
What does that mean? Like, I don't even have a response to that, Brian. I'm not even sure what that means. That sounds like people just, you know, yelling fire in a crowded theater. It really does. I'm just going to say something to scare everybody and put a negative light on Dean Phillips' campaign, even though, look, he's a super nice guy. He's a very accomplished individual. Don't agree with him politically on pretty much anything. I'll give you that. But he's going to run the race the way it should be run, person to person, asking for their vote, earning the vote, not just earning the approval of a couple elites that'll hand it to you, you know, when you really haven't earned it on the ground. I mean, you remember Biden, he didn't engage in the press. He campaigned from his basement. He got his clock cleaned in New Hampshire back in 2020, and that's what it needed. He was lucky enough to have a party structure that didn't really listen to voters, only listened to elitists, and that's how he ultimately gets the nomination. Hopefully, Democrats can smarten up and realize that they can't keep going down that path, or they get, you know, out of touch millionaire old white guys that have no connection to the party base of the progressives. So there's a huge opportunity on the Democrat side to kind of get back to basics. On the Republican side, we're still doing our thing, right? We're having an open primary. There's still a lot of votes out there to be moved. A lot of voters won't decide who they're voting for until, you know, maybe December or even January. So there's still a lot of room for all the candidates to make a move here on Trump.
On a real clear average in New Hampshire, Trump's got 46.3, Haley 14.8, DeSantis 10.5, and Christie 8.5. Is that what you're hearing on the ground?
That's about right. Yeah, that's about right. And I wouldn't expect it to move. I won't expect those numbers to move until after Thanksgiving. It depends on what happens in the third. I mean, remember, the third debate is going to be interesting, right? Because there's going to be about half as many people on the stage. The probably going to have about twice as much airtime. Going to be a little chippier, maybe, than we've seen before. And they can't just keep repeating the same thing, right? So they got to come with something new and exciting and a little bit inspirational. So I think the third debate is going to be pretty pivotal. I wouldn't see those poll numbers move until slightly after Thanksgiving. That's typically when New Hampshire voters start getting down to business, talking to family members, and they start saying, okay, where are we going to go here? And I think if someone can get some momentum, probably Haley or DeSantis, if one of those two can get a lot of momentum and really surge here, then you can start seeing a race where people start consolidating behind one of them and moving forward.
So you think on the stage, I know Tim Scott's having trouble qualifying for the next debate, and Governor Burgum, too, you like him. I know you guys are friends. Governor Burgum, too, is having trouble qualifying. Do you think it's going to be four?
I think it could be four. Yeah, four, maybe five. Yep, I think so. And for all those folks, you know, 3 months ago, said, well, the field won't narrow itself down. It just is, right? The RNC is actually doing, I think, a pretty good job, you know, making sure that we have a strong discussion on issues and not just getting 15 people their 5 minutes of fame on a stage. They're making it tougher to enter those debates. I have no problem with that. And as you said, these are all great candidates. I mean, they're all great. Some will qualify, some won't. Some are hitting, you know, their marks, some aren't. But they're all great. But ultimately, it really does have to be narrowed down. And so if you get to four or five, you know, viable candidates by Iowa, New Hampshire, you start narrowing this down to one-on-one with Trump and somebody else before, you know, Super Tuesday, now you got a real race. You really do. Now it's a 50-50 up for grabs. And anyone with political momentum can steal this thing.
Right. And so far, have you changed your mind at all that Trump can't win?
In November, no. I mean, Biden's making it easier, but I don't think Biden's on the ticket. If I was sure Biden was on the ticket, I'd say, yeah, maybe Trump could actually beat that guy. It ain't going to be him, Brian. It's not. They're going to give this to somebody else. And the new fresh face, if you will, on a presidential ticket is going to get all the excitement in the world. You could have a horrible governor like Gavin Newsom, as bad as that guy is at his job, and there's not many that has ever been worse. Maybe Cuomo.
He's terrible. But
he'll be a new face that hasn't been attacked, and they'll be able to brush off some of the very clear arguments against him. But it'll still be hard when he's going against someone like Trump. He'll galvanize a lot of the independents on his side, and that's just a reality Republicans have to face. It doesn't. You know what the issue of this campaign is? It's not abortion. It's not the economy. It's not jobs. It's winning. Winning is the issue for Republicans in 2024. So let's find any of these other candidates that we know can cross the line with a victory in November.
Because it's so dramatic. This country will look dramatically different if Republicans don't win. And please try to tell me how the policies of the previous 4 years weren't better than these. Please, I don't know if anyone can make that argument. Lastly, you know the electoral process. Beyond New Hampshire, what is too late? When is too late to change the horse in the race?
I think Super Tuesday. I think if Super
March.
Tuesday can be a 50-50. Yeah, I think if that can be a 50-50 gambit between Trump and somebody else, we have a shot. If Trump just runs the table on Super Tuesday, that's it. It's toast. I mean,
No. I'm talking about Republicans. When the Democrats have to make a decision on whether Biden's going to be out.
No. See, I think Biden himself, Jill Biden and Biden himself could make that decision going into the convention. Yeah. See, they may give it up. They may actually give it up, but they'll give it up to who they want. They'll be kingmakers, if you will. Right? They'll say, we're going to tell all of our delegates that we've earned in the primary process to go here and here. And therefore, not only are they not in office anymore, they've gone out, people thank them, and they get to be kingmakers for the next generation of Democrats. That's a very enticing probability.
Governor, it's a scenario, but not one that's ever been done. And it would mean you'd have to bypass Harris, who's awful. 60 Minutes feature proved that again. So they're trying to make her look good. So I've never heard that scenario where you go and give your delegates to somebody else.
Yeah. Well, look, I've never heard of a scenario where someone like that is running against eight other contenders in the Republican primary doesn't get on the debate stage. I've never heard a scenario where you have a literally a senile president who can't keep his words together, yet still may become president again, or a scenario where the leading Republican candidate might end up in jail. I mean, this is a year of never-been-done scenarios, so let's put it all on the table and have fun watching the show. And by the way, if you want to come to the circus, I've got a front-row seat. Anyone, come on up to New Hampshire. We'll bring you around. I bring everybody around. This is the place to be, Brian. It's wild.
When is the date?
Not announced. Likely January 23rd, but that is not the date. I don't announce that. The Secretary of State will make a formal announcement soon, but late January is likely.
He is Governor Chris Sununu. Governor, thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, brother. Be good.
At just 30 years old, the founder of FTX was one of the wealthiest people in the world. That all changed in November 2022 when the company collapsed and filed for bankruptcy. Now Sam Bankman-Fried stands accused of committing one of the biggest financial frauds in U.S. history. Join me, Kelly O'Grady, every Monday and Thursday as we follow the trial of Sam Bankman-Fried.
Subscribe today wherever you download podcasts or at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.